Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the half year results 2016 conference call. At this time, all participants are on listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask your question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. I must also advise you this conference is being recorded today on the 31st of August 2016. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Martin Schütteveer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and good morning to those on the other side of the ocean. Welcome here with me today, Hans Kamps, familiar team. We've got Frank Rousseau and Karl Heinz from our treasury side. I think without any further ado, I'd like to hand over to Hans. Hopefully everyone has received a copy of the presentation by email yesterday. We'll be running through that slide by slide. And subsequently after the call, we'll open the lines for any Q&A. So Hans, I think with that, over to you.
Okay, thank you, Martijn. Welcome everybody. Thank you for calling in. We're looking back to the first half year where I think we can say that after two record years, the 2014 and 2015, the best years ever in the company. Now we have definitely also entered a new situation in which, as we already said for quite a while, our markets are becoming more challenging. Obviously, oil and gas, commodity developments in world trade will also affect our business. But we are with dredging and with most of our offshore energy activities relatively late cyclical. It'll take some time before we're really feeling the brunt of the changed market circumstances. Last year, as said, being late cyclical, but also having the Suez project last year, turned out 2015 was not a year in which we really felt the consequences of that changed market. First half of this year, we have really done so. This is reflected in the fact that our revenues have come down. Consequently, also net profits and EBITDA have come down. The order book has already come down the last year or so, as you have been able to note it. And at least we've been able to end the first half year with a somewhat higher order book than the beginning of this year. But I will say something about that in a minute. I think the real good news is that that notwithstanding this all, our balance sheet, and again I'll also discuss that in a few minutes, is in, I think we can say, tip top shape. I'm continuing now to the next slide, so which is number four, the order book. As I already said, the order book is somewhat up. This is totally due to the order book in dredging going up, which is almost totally due to the fact that we have been able to land a job as part of the large development, the construction of the Fehmarnbelt tunnel between Germany and Denmark. Our part is the dredging work in joint venture with Van Oord. So the good news is substantial contribution to the order book. Also good news, I think, is it will give this push for the order book for quite a while, because it will, in all fairness, take a while before we can actually start the work. And I think it's also relevant to say that there is still one important condition to be met, which is the environmental permits in Germany. We are comfortable that these permits will be given. That's why we have put this job into the order book, but it is not 100% certain, and certainly not the timing of the start of this job. So if we correct for that, the dredging order book is slightly up versus the beginning of this year. For offshore energy, the order book has come down. We're running off the order book of Dockwise with the logistical management contracts and the long-term contracts still under generally old and therefore favorable conditions being closed a few years ago. That on the one hand. On the other hand, we are executing two major offshore wind projects that were in the order book at the beginning of this year. So far, we have not been able to replace those by new offshore wind projects, and therefore order book for offshore energy has come down. I can add to that since the end of the first half year, we have been successful on one new offshore wind project, but that will be coming into the order book in the second half of this year. Towage and salvage, still a relatively, this stands for basically salvage. Towage has no order book. So therefore, this number here is the order book for salvage. And in salvage, at this moment, we don't have any large wreck removal projects in the order book. As I think I've mentioned in the past, this is a relatively lumpy business. Most of the projects in salvage are emergency response projects, so they happen when they occur. We don't have an order book for that, and wreck removals are the type of one or two projects at max in every single year, and at the moment that is relatively slow. The next page numbers, this is slide number five. As I said, our balance sheet is in tip-top shape. I think a lot of the players in the offshore sector would like to be able to say so we're probably more of an exception than the rule in that sector. But looking at the governance, I think we've every reason to say that this balance sheet is in good shape, with ratios very well within the governance as we agreed them with you and with our bankers. Then continuing on to slide number seven, an overview of the three divisions. As I said, revenue is substantially down versus the first half year, and in line with that also the results. Mostly so in dredging, and I'll discuss that in a minute. To a lesser extent in offshore energy, and to a relatively modest extent in revenue terms, but in a more substantial terms, a reduction of profitability. That has a lot to do with the fact that. Also for us, activities in oil and gas, in line with what's happening in the market, is coming down and has come down also substantially for us in the first half of this year. But we have been able to compensate that to a large extent by the offshore wind projects that we have under construction right now. But those are generally projects with lower contribution margins. Lower EBIT margins than in oil and gas, and certainly the older projects. So therefore, you see a relatively higher decrease in the EBIT in offshore energy than in revenue terms. Towage and salvage is down. Partly that's an accounting issue, but I'll discuss that in a minute. And in line with that revenue decrease, a decrease in results. Going on to slide number eight, dredging and inland infra. Very weak half year, but certainly in comparison to the first half of last year. But then of course, first half of last year we had the Suez project in execution, which contributed very significantly to the revenues as well as the results in the first half of 2015. So that's over. That's gone. But that's not the only factor. In general, and this is also related to developments in oil and gas and in commodities, we have seen quite a weak market in dredging, as is reflected if we just look on to the next slide, number nine. the utilization of equipment. We have seen the hoppers coming down from the very high utilization last year of 43 weeks to 25 weeks. Reflection of, as I said, a weaker market where currently there are no very substantial jobs in execution. It's much more a question of a matter of having to generate the utilization by a lot of smaller, medium-sized type jobs. And in addition to that, we have been confronted at the beginning of the second quarter with a temporary suspension of a project that we have in execution in Indonesia, in joint venture with Van Oord, where the project has been suspended due to political issues, nothing to do with our joint venture. Every indication that at some point in time this will be resolved, although we anticipate that not to be before the beginning of next year. On that job, we had one of our two main vessels, the Queen, employed. Since that is a very large hopper dredge, therefore weighs considerably in the utilization because these are weighted utilization numbers. Also, that factor contributed to a very weak first half year in utilization terms. Same applies to the cutters. Also, I think I've mentioned it before in these calls. Cutters always have a much lower utilization than hoppers. This has not been the case for the last 2 years, primarily due to Suez and some other projects. So we're coming from 2 years of extreme high utilization for cutters. So that's one comment I would like to make. And the other one is that compared to hoppers, cutters are relatively insignificant. So the headache has been more into utilization of the hoppers in the first half than in cutters. So maybe back to slide 8. Fluid, weak market, and the finalization last year of the Suez project have resulted in substantially lower revenues. Also, in line with that, substantially lower EBITDA. On general, on the projects under execution, we're having decent to good margins. No headache projects except for the one I just mentioned, Pluit, due to the temporary suspension. I think a positive note is, again, our Dutch inland infra activities, which are about a third of the revenue in this division, have realized good results. We are, like last year, running quite decent margins in this business, and also in general, as you know, we always have closeout results on projects that have been technically completed earlier. Also, this first half year, although to a lower extent than last year, have also positively contributed to the result. Then going on to slide number 10, offshore energy. As I already mentioned at the beginning of my presentation, I think considering what's happening in the oil and gas sector, we have seen a relative modest revenue decline. But as said, that is primarily due to the fact that we have these offshore wind projects under execution, where last year certainly first half of last year, we had no such project under execution. We have seen a decline in fleet utilization, in particular with respect to the seagoing tugs, but also the heavy marine transportation vessels of Dockwise. I already mentioned it. We are running off the order book, which means that we see a shift from our contracted job, generally already a few years ago, with generally very good prices, to the spot market, where prices are under pressure, where utilizations are under pressure, So we are also experiencing that decline in fleet utilization. Contracting activities, I already mentioned wind, but also some landfall projects, full pipe vessel projects in this division. We have seen generally a good level of activities and also quite decent results. Then at last, I think worth mentioning is the fact that as you have may have seen, we have acquired the offshore activities of Falco Vessels. Falco Vessels, large Dutch construction company, with which we have been working together in the offshore wind sector, for us quite a strategic activity. For Falco Vessels, far less so. As a result of which we have come to terms with Falco Vessels on acquiring their activities. That acquisition has been completed at the beginning of July. So as from the third quarter, we will be consolidating those activities. And also as from the beginning of the third quarter, we will take on board the order book of these activities. Going on to slide 11, towage and salvage. Revenues have come down, but if you consider the fact that at the beginning of the second quarter, we have closed the deal that we have been discussing before, the Kotech-Smit joint venture for jointly operating the harbor towage activities in northwestern Europe, Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, and the UK, means that as of the second quarter, all our towage activities are conducted within a joint venture, so therefore are not fully consolidated anymore into our revenue numbers. Nor in the other numbers. If you correct for that, half of the decline in revenue would disappear. It's due to that difference in accounting treatment. The other half is due to the fact, as I already mentioned, that in salvage we have no major wreck removal projects under in progress at this point. For towage in general, I have to say, towage has two kinds of activities. The one is the more normal port business, so the tows of incoming and outgoing vessels. In general, that activity has been stable. Results of that activity has been stable within all the joint ventures. Looking at the other part of the business of some of these joint ventures, that is towage activities related to offshore activities, oil and gas or commodity related, and a good example of the last one is Smit Lamnalco, which is completely working for oil and gas and commodity suppliers. That part of the business is under pressure, which has translated itself in some pressure on the results within Smit Lamnalco, as just mentioned, within our joint venture in Mexico, where part of the business is offshore related, and within our joint venture in Singapore. So some pressure there, stable business in the other part of the towage business. Salvage, as I mentioned, no large wreck removal projects in progress. Emergency response, first half year, fair amount of work. But if you consider the fact that, in general, on emergency response jobs, margins and contribution to cost cover are lower than on wreck removal projects, that on balance has resulted in a lower result for salvage. Then slide number 12, holding and eliminations. So mainly the costs of the corporate headquarters, some non-allocated, other non-allocated expenses. I would call them extraordinaries. Head office costs, etc., is all in line with budgets and in line with last year. The large elements here are the and our two large non-operational effects we have seen in the first half year results are the fact that we have accounted for our share in the loss of Fugro over the first half of the year. That's been a loss of 28 million. As some of you may have seen, Fugro has reported a loss of 200 million. We have a stake of just slightly under 30%. But due to the fact that we have, due to an PPA that we conducted last year, anticipated last year already quite of some of the impairments that Fugro reported, we have we are not required to account for those. So that's about half of the loss of Fugro. So therefore, for our purposes, the loss of Fugro has been 100 million, and our share of that has been 28. Against that, there has been a profit, an accounting profit, no cash associated with that. I already mentioned the fact that at the beginning of the second quarter, we closed the transaction with Kotech. Under the accounting rules, we have to account for that as a sale of 100% owned companies and the acquisition of a 50% joint venture that has resulted in an accounting gain of 34 million. But as said, that's merely a accounting profit and not a cash profit. Last year in 2015, we also had one large extraordinary item, also a non-cash item, which was a revaluation gain on the Fugro stake. Slide 13, maybe just a few words. As I said, and as we already have said for quite a while, also for us, the environment is going to be more challenging. That's the reason why at the beginning of this year we have started an extensive process study of reviewing the market prospects for the various parts of our business, and make extensive supply and demand analysis to get an up-to-date confrontation of what is the market, in our view, going to offer us in the foreseeable future, and what is the capacity that we have available within the dredging division and within the offshore energy division. Well, that study has been concluded at the end of the second quarter, the beginning of the third quarter, the beginning of this summer. The outcome of this study has been that we are going to scrap, sell, or lay up 10 dredging vessels and 14 offshore vessels. And with lay up, I mean a lay up for, we believe, at least a couple of years. This applies to a couple of the vessels of the in total 24. The majority of the 22 vessels will be in the category of selling, where there is an opportunity to sell or scrap. It's mainly older items. So that will happen in the period, well, let's say in the next 30 months, 2.5 years. And that already, of course, also results in a loss of job position in crew, as well in operational pools. Operational pools are primarily project management teams. That's a total number of around 650 people in Holland and overseas. And we are currently conducting the discussions as required with workers' council and with unions. I already mentioned the vast majority of the vessels are relatively old, therefore no substantial book values anymore. So we don't expect, as a result of this fleet rationalization program, any substantial impairments of assets. We will have to take on some provisions for redundancy costs. We can do that after we have concluded the consultations with the unions and the workers' council, but also this will not be a really substantial number, probably in the area of 5 to 10 million euros. Then maybe going on to the balance sheet on slide 15, except for the fact that, as I already said a few times, I think a very robust balance sheet. No major changes. Changes there, except for the ones that we have outlined. The forming of the Kotex-Smit joint venture has resulted in a reclassification on the balance sheet. More relevant, I think, that we have seen a slight increase in net debt, notwithstanding the fact that we have spent around 70 million on the acquisition of the dredging business of Strabag, and a solvency that has now in this first half year exceeded the 60% threshold. Page 16, well, I have no further comments to make on that. As I already mentioned, of course, in line with our lower results, the cash flow has come down, but still a very robust cash flow, of which we have spent almost a third only in capex. This does not exclude, or this does not include the acquisition of Strabag. This is capex in the form of plant and equipment, well within the level of depreciation. And I think relevant to say that at the end of the first half year, we had less than 100 million in capex commitments. So the market may have changed. It may be a tougher world in which we're operating. Very important. We have the balance sheet in a good shape, and we are still generating very healthy cash flows, of which we only require a part for necessary or committed capital expenditure. And page, which is it, slide 18, a summary of the cash flow. I think most of the items I've already mentioned. Maybe one important item to mention is working capital. But as you know, I mean, we have seasonal fluctuations in the contracting business. Specific payment terms on specific contracts will have an effect on that. It is not unusual to see that in the first half of the year, on balance, we always have a substantial cash outflow. We saw that last year. We've seen that also the first half of this year. Obviously, we have a decline in volume in our business, as we're currently experiencing, we will see some negative cash outflow in working capital. We're coming, I think I mentioned it before, from very high negative levels. We've always had, as long as I can look back, negative levels in working capital. No reason to think that will be different in the future. But when business is coming down, the negative number will obviously become somewhat lower. Maybe next slide, page 19, financing facilities. I think it's a familiar one. Nothing has changed except for the fact that we have exercised an option to increase the duration of our revolving credit facilities with another year. That's a 600 million. We currently do not use any of the money under this line available to us. The one thing that we will see, as you will know, certainly those of you that have participated in the 2010 private placement, we will have the first repayments of that next year. Then maybe a last word on the outlook. In summary, we expect a prolonged period of low oil and commodity prices and lean market conditions. That's at least what we're basing ourselves on. So as I mentioned already with the fleet rationalization program, with everything we do, we base that on the fact that we are experiencing a lower market right now, and that for the foreseeable future, that is going to be what it is. So in none of our actions, we do anticipate a vast improvement of that situation. We will see in practice when that will be happening. I think no reason to be pessimistic about the businesses we are in. These are cyclical businesses. Anybody's guess, and you can have endless arguments whether 2017 is going to show a turning point, or 2018 or 2019. We base ourselves on the fact that for the foreseeable future, this is what it is, and we will adjust to that. We have given an indication of the net profit for this year. We do expect the operational net profit, which means at least the net profit, excluding the two major items that I mentioned before, the Fugro result and the accounting result on the Cotech transaction, e-result, that will be approaching the first half of this year. We do expect for the full year CAPEX for the second half of the year to be at the level at the first half year, so for the full year at 200 million, as I said, well within depreciation, which is closer to 300 million and to 200 million. And maybe a last thing to say is that we have started working on our business plan for the period 2017-2019. As you may know, we make those plans every three years. So will we be doing so in the next couple of months? And then when we announce the 2016 result, we'll also in more detail outline, and as I already mentioned, we're looking at the markets for the foreseeable future to be at substantially lower levels than we have seen in our previous business plan period, what the consequences of that for us conducting the business in that period will be. That's what I would like to say about these slides, and Martijn, I hand over to you again.
Thank you very much, Hans. Thanks for running us through the presentation. With that, I'd like to ask the operator to open the lines and invite anyone. If you have a question, please feel free to put it to the team here. Over to you, operator.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. As a reminder, that is star 1 on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from the line of Alan Jackson. Please ask your question.
Hey, guys. Thanks, as always, for doing the call. One question just with respect to the dredging business. I don't know if you could give us some context for the impact that the Suez project had on the first half results last year, and maybe some color as to how, I guess I'm just trying to get a sense of how surprising the downturn was in that business when you strip out the Suez contract.
I think in the sense that within dredging, if you look at the diffuse also we've taken in internally, let me say, I think that there was a good contribution of Suez. As you know, we will not disclose any numbers on that, but it certainly was where it started as a challenging project. I think, as we mentioned before, the job went quite well. So it was quite a good job last year. We expected activity levels to come down. as we already mentioned for quite a while, margins are somewhat under pressure. It is more small or medium-sized jobs that will have to fill our order book. So we expected that. That being said, we did not expect the levels of utilization to the extent, certainly for the hoppers, as we have seen. And I already mentioned one of the factors there that certainly we did not anticipate was the suspension of the Pluit project. On the other hand, we also did not anticipate to the extent that we have seen in reality the closeout results of some projects that have been earlier terminated. So some things went better than we anticipated, some things went worse than we anticipated. But certainly, I think to the extent that we have seen the results coming down in dredging, a very large part of that was anticipated.
I think, Alan, maybe just to give you a little more guidance, Martijn here. You know, the sewers contract, which was executed last year, total contract was 320-330 million euros, was front loaded in terms of operations in the first half of the year. So a large chunk of it, and specifically the utilization, was indeed in the first half of the year. So we also had a very substantial contribution from our internal fleet rental business in the first half of the year. It goes hand in hand with the utilization. And, you know, the guidance we give, if you look at the margin last year, it's fair to assume that sewers was above average margins. And then if you look at the average margin last year, put sewers above that, and then offset that to the first half of this year, it's clear that sewers was a very strong contributor, both on utilization and project margin last year.
Yeah, that's helpful. Maybe just one more. When you think about some of the actions you're taking with respect to rationalizing the fleet, would you expect that to have a relatively quick positive impact on margins, or are you expecting some margin degradation from here?
The measures that we have announced are substantial. But let's say it is not that the pressure on margin in a weak market can be fully compensated by those measures. And as I announced, this will take place in the period of the next 30 months, because part of it is equipment that we have still utilization for part of that period. Other parts. And for instance, in offshore energy, we have already put certain of these actions into place. For instance, we have already let up two of the seagoing tugs, have taken the crews off. So part of that very quick period of realization, some of that will take some time. But certainly, the erosion of the margins cannot be fully compensated by these actions.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks.
And your next question comes from the line of David Patch. Please ask your question.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the call, as always. I'm just trying to understand the difference between the cash flow number on slide 16 and then the operational cash flow on slide 18. Showing 284 cash flow on the slide 16 and 100 million operational cash flow.
Yeah, well, that's the one on page 16 has the accounting cash flow definition of net profit plus depreciation. So on slide 18, if you take the first two numbers there, the 149 and the 135, those two add up to 284.
I see. Okay. Thanks.
Well, and that's what we consider the basic cash flow, as I mentioned before, because the working capital has had a substantial negative impact in the first half of the year, as it had last year in the first half, as we traditionally see it, a a substantially negative impact in the first half of the year, and quite often compensated for that, at least to some to a large extent, some extent in the second half of the year, and the operational cash flow that therefore takes that into account, and also leaves out the non-cash, as I mentioned before, the non-cash book result on the Kotak Smit transaction.
Okay, thanks for that.
And your next question comes from the line of Guillermo Sanchez. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. I wanted to ask about CapEx guidance. You mentioned 200 million for 2016, and I was wondering what this number might be in 2017, 2018, as the rationalization of the fleet is completed.
Well, I think, as I said, we're basing ourselves on the fact or on the belief that our business will now, at least for a number of years, let's say, be at a different level as we have experienced the last so many years, which also means, of course, that that is going to be reflected in CAPEX. We have, I already mentioned the number of 100 million of committed CAPEX as of the end of the first half of the year, which is primarily the mega cutter in the dredging division that we have under construction, that we will complete. Construction will be finalized beginning of next year. And then within dredging, also given the fact that we've done the acquisition of Strabag, with which we basically did two things at the same time: A, take a competitor out of the market, Strabag, but B, also acquire two relatively new-built hoppers that are also a replacement of, let's say, two of the older hoppers that we have, which means that basically also we have brought forward through that transaction an otherwise CAPEX expenditure that we would have seen somewhere in the next five years. That being said, with our fleet in dredging, we are in a very good condition, and we'll see no major capital expenditure items in the foreseeable future. In offshore energy, considering what's happening in that market, the amount of equipment we have available, we don't see any requirements except for one, and I will come back to that in a minute. For the winter sector, but no major capital expenditure planned for that. I think we may have opportunities, as we've seen in the first half year, in, as you know, a lot of parties in problems in that sector, quite some distressed sales available. So that offers from time to time the opportunity to put your hands on some equipment for relatively very favorable prices, but I don't expect that to be any major items. Leaves only one other piece of major CAPEX, which is the one thing that we have lacking in our fleet is a lifting vessel. And we're now working on a project to convert one of the dockwise vessels into a crane vessels by putting a crane on that. That in itself is a substantial investment, but also not in the neighborhood of building a new vessel from scratch. So one in dredging to be completed, one in offshore energy to be undertaken. I think that leaves us, as we look at it, and as I said, we will make the business plan in the course of the second half of this year. But the way we look at it right now is that the level, as we see for 2016, of around 200 is very much the kind of levels you have to think about for the next couple of years, and if anything, again, really opportunities and acquisitions, excluded, probably even somewhat lower than the 200. and therefore very well within the levels of depreciation.
And I think, you know, maybe just to add to that, Hans, if you look at that 200, as Hans indicated, also includes, let's say, the additions of new assets, including the mega cutter and the crane vessel. If you were to strip those out, and if you were then to look at, you know, what is your minimum capex level to keep the business running, dry dockings, etc., you know, then you're looking at substantially lower numbers.
Yep.
So if the need is there, obviously you've got certain commitments, but if the need were there, you know, we could crank that 200 number substantially lower to 100 or even below the 100 million mark.
Yeah, agreed. Yep. Correct.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks very much. And that was along the lines of my questions. I was just trying to determine what would be the minimum maintenance capex. And I have a follow-up. So the regular maintenance expenditures on your fleet, are you flowing those through the income statement as an operating expense, or do these also flow as part of this capex number within cash flow from investments?
Well, as Martijn said, I think the maintenance, there's two types of maintenance. One is dry docking, which is a regular cycle for every vessel, at least every five years, where you do some replacements of substantial items on the vessel. These are going through capex. All other maintenance expenses, particularly all the maintenance expenses on the dredging vessels, or the vast bulk of all the maintenance expenses on the dredging vessels, are all going through the P&L statement.
Thanks very much. Great.
And our next question comes from the line of Troy Gerhard. Please ask your question. Troy Gerhard, please ask your question.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I guess the button was only partially pushed over to where it needed to be. Looking at your slide 9, where you're talking the dredging utilization, and you know, you're showing the 25 weeks for hoppers and the 10 for cutters. What do you think that's going to be going forward? Is it going to be at these levels for a length of time until you start getting the equipment scrapped or sold?
I don't expect we think we're in this situation that we will see those weaker levels. And I mentioned one of the factors really playing a role in the first of the year, the suspension of fluid, that this is going to be a kind of new normal. That being said, for that, we do require, as an industry, and also for ourselves, some larger projects to be landed in the order books. These larger projects are certainly there. There is a pipeline of larger projects that have been tendered for, but most of these, I have to say, go through the pipeline relatively slowly. So there is a certain amount of uncertainty around that. So it is difficult to be optimistic about getting back into the well into the 30s in utilization term. And again, I'm only speaking hoppers because that is really what counts in this area. But what we do need is that some of these projects will come out of the pipeline.
Okay, very good. And in regards to dockwise, that equipment is that it sounds like that's not going to be utilized for a period of time, or if it is, it's going to be very, very low utilization?
Well, it's substantially lower than the, let's say, the record levels of utilization that we have experienced in the last two, three years. Yes, that's correct. We're definitely going there to a lower level. Well, I think we have been maintained. We were at about 70% of first half of the year.
Late 60s.
We're coming from, but again, these were very high levels. The higher 80s. Can we go lower than that? With the move to the spot market, as I mentioned, I certainly there is still pressure on those utilization levels.
Okay.
But then that's as I mentioned. I mean, some of the vessels in our rationalization plan are some of the older vessels within the Dockwise fleet. So we will be reducing capacity there. And also, as I just mentioned, under the heading of CAPEX, we will take one of those vessels out of the fleet, convert it. At least that's the intention right now. Convert it into a crane vessel that will then be employed in a segment that otherwise we do not operate in with the Dockwise fleet.
But at this time, you don't see any of these vessels being scrapped, sold, or put in storage.
Well, on the lower range of the Dockwise vessels, as I just mentioned, yes, a couple of the Dockwise vessels are in the category of the 24 that I mentioned under the fleet rationalization program, and that is the oldest one. And it's always a matter of is it going to be scrapped or is there a potential to sell a vessel? The last, of course, we will only consider if we then will not see it back in the market competing with us, or put into cold layup for a while. And this certainly applies to part of the fleet of Dockwise.
Very good. And just one final question, if I can, in regards to Fugro, I assume that's just kind of a wait and see, no additional investment or any activity there that you plan to do?
Correct summary.
Okay.
Correct summary.
Great.
As you know, I mean, we're just at the level right now that we can't increase our stake, otherwise we would be forced to make a mandatory bid on Fugro. And that is not something that we want to put ourselves into at this point in time. So, as said, I think it's a good summary of our position right now with respect to Fugro.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay. Our pleasure.
And there are no more questions. Please continue.
Okay, well, operator, if there's no more questions, then I'd like to thank, on behalf of the team here, everyone for dialing in today. We will be forwarding later this week the replay of the call for anyone who'd like to listen back. And if anyone does have any subsequent questions, please feel free to reach out to one of us here at Boskalis, and we'll get back to you on a one-to-one basis. And with that, thanks, everyone, and look forward to speaking to you probably 6 months from now at the full-year numbers. Bye-bye.
That does conclude our call for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.